Today's episode is brought to you by Crossway, a not-for-profit ministry that publishes gospel-centered resources to serve the church. Crossway recently published a new book by Nancy Guthrie called Saints and Scoundrels and the Story of Jesus. In this book, Nancy examines characters in the life of Jesus, such as the disciples, religious leaders, and even his own friends, who claimed to be saints, but were proven to be scoundrels. And on the flip side, those who lived like scoundrels, but were transformed into saints. Visit crossway.org/RM and get this book 40% off with a free Crossway Plus membership. We're so thankful for Crossway's support.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily, and I'm excited to share a little about today's show. Today, we're talking about the many types of work that we do as moms, the everyday work of the home and caring for our families, the work we volunteer for ministry or community organizations, but specifically, this show has an emphasis on income-producing work. This is a highly requested topic, as moms want to know how to honor God and be faithful in their role amidst many responsibilities. We invited several of our friends to spend a few minutes sharing what they've learned about work and motherhood, the purpose of work and its many challenges, the way they've depended on and looked to the Lord, and the way He has been faithful and helped them persevere as they put Christ first. We hope this feels like dropping into a conversation with a group of women from different life stages who are sharing what they've learned from the Word of God and personal experience. Before we jump in, we'd like to introduce these women to you. We know this will go fast, so if you want to find anything here, we'll list additional information on our show notes at risenmotherhood.com in the order each person shared. Courtney Reisig lives in Little Rock, Arkansas with her husband and their four sons. She's a Bible teacher and is the author of three books, The Accidental Feminist, Glory in the Ordinary, and Teach Me to Feel, Worshiping Through the Psalms in Every Season of Life. Jen Pollock Michelle is the award-winning author of Teach Us to Want, Keeping Place, and Surprised by Paradox. Jen writes widely for print and digital publications and travels to speak at churches, conferences, and retreats. She resides in Canada with her husband and their five children. Kim Cash Tate is an author, Bible teacher, speaker, and singer-songwriter who lives in St. Louis, Missouri with her husband and two adult children. She has written several books, including Cling, Choosing a Lifestyle of Intimacy with God, and her fictional Promises of God series. Kim has an active YouTube channel with a scripted web series called Cling, the Series. Macy English is the owner and principal consultant of English Media, where she helps businesses with all things sales and marketing. Macy and her husband have two kids and live in Texas. Okay, let's get to today's show.
Often we see our work as a product of living in a fallen world. Work is boring. Work is mundane. Work is hard. Work is so often unproductive. Work produces so very little joy in our lives. So we think to ourselves, it must be because sin entered the world, right? And it's this idea which is such a common misunderstanding of our work. But we can be helped to cope with the difficulty in our work if we remember why we work in the first place. God created work in the very beginning. When God created Adam and Eve, He gave them a world to work in. He gave them a garden to cultivate. He gave them a family mandate to fulfill, to be fruitful and to multiply. And He gave them an entire world to subdue and to rule and to reign over. But the reason He did this is because He created them to bear His image. When they worked, they were working as His co-laborers to bring order out of chaos, to spread His glory all over the world that He had made, and to rule and to reign with Him. It's God who is the very first worker. He worked in bringing forth creation. He works every single day to sustain his creation. And he's working personally in our lives right now to grow new life in us through his son Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit. God is a worker, and he created us to work as his image bearers. This infuses meaning into every single job that we have, whether it's paid or whether it's unpaid, whether it's valued or whether it's not valued, whether it's glamorous or whether it is just downright dirty. The mom doing laundry brings glory to God because in it, you are bringing order out of chaos. The teacher brings glory to God because she's teaching the beauty of knowledge, knowing that all truth belongs to our God. The frantic nights in the kitchen after a long day at the office or a long day at home alone with the kids, all of this brings glory to God because you are loving the world that God has made by feeding hungry bellies. But because sin entered the world, your work needs a rescuer to come and infuse meaning back into what God intended your work always to be. And praise God, the rescuer has come. Jesus came doing his Father's work to redeem those who are living under the curse, including the curse that's on your work today. So in Christ, our work can have tremendous meaning. In the Lord, every single act of work you do can be a form of worship back to the God who is making all things new by the work of Christ. One day, our work will be fully redeemed in the new heavens and the new earth. And until then, we work with purpose, knowing that even in this broken world, our labors are never in vain.
We've just recently moved, and as you can imagine, I feel a little bit of panic when I see the boxes that we've shoved in our storage room, the stacks of pictures that we haven't yet hung, the empty shelves that I am probably not going to get around to decorating before my mother-in-law visits. I want to get to it all, I want to do it all, and I can't because I am a working mom with 5 children. I mean, I'm thankful that as a writer I have a flexible schedule. Most recently I've written a book entitled Surprise by Paradox, and truthfully, I think the life of a working mom is a lot of paradox. I think it's a both and life. I think it's a life with contradictions, with a lot of head scratching, a lot of wondering how exactly it's all supposed to work. I mean, for me, when the refrigerator is empty, when the laundry hampers are full, when I'm behind on a writing deadline, I start to think that an either or life would be a lot easier than this both and life that I'm attempting. I mean, either I should just be a full-time mom, making sure that everyone has clean sheets and a coat whose sleeves aren't too short. Or, in a different life, I should have leaned further into my professional work. I should have set more ambitious goals. I think part of the seduction of an either-or life is its simplicity, its tidiness. I mean, if I'm honest, one of the reasons I'm drawn to the promise of an either-or life is because I'd be better at managing it, or maybe truthfully, I'd be better at controlling it. But as I've thought a lot about the nature of God and the nature of faith, I realize how often we find God in the both and, not in the either-or. Jesus is, of course, both God and man. And he does not invite us into a life that we can manage or control, but a life where we walk by faith. Faith isn't formed when we think we've got it all together. It's formed when we realize that we don't. And I certainly don't always know how to do this life well, this life where dinner and book deadlines matter. So I keep leaning in. I keep leaning in into this both and life, because this is where I'm practicing dependence on God. It's where I'm taking risk. It's where I'm trying things that feel way too big, way too impossible for me. I'm learning to call both parts of this life good, the writing and the dishwashing, the speaking and the scrubbing. I'm trying to release my need for control. Most of all, I'm just practicing being human. I'm naming my limits. I'm asking for God's help. I hope you will too.
I remember being distraught, wondering how I would meet the book deadline my publisher had given me while homeschooling my two kids. I had written my first novel on my own time. It had taken 2 years, writing primarily in the mornings, but by the grace of God, I'd gotten it done. But now I was signed to a publisher, which I had thought was a blessing, but as the deadline loomed before me, challenges at home seemed to exponentially increase. There were days I hardly got to write at all, and I only grew more and more frustrated. If my kids took longer than expected to grasp a lesson or weren't cooperative, I had little patience, and I would hear myself snapping at them. When our school time was over, I'd open my laptop, ready to roll with my story, and I'd hear, "Mom!" School time had ended. Motherhood hadn't. Inside, I'd be complaining. I never get time to myself. Can I just get 1 hour? The Holy Spirit convicted me and reminded me that motherhood was my primary ministry. This was still fairly new to me. I'd been raised to have a career and make lots of money. After giving my life to Jesus at 27, He gave me a desire to prioritize motherhood, and I left a career as an attorney. I loved being home with my kids, but now that I had signed this book deal, at times I found myself resenting the demands of motherhood, which, with homeschooling, had become a round-the-clock job. But when the Holy Spirit convicted me, I repented of my attitude and spent time with the Lord and His Word. I knew He was saying to trust Him. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount gripped my heart. "Do not worry about what you will eat or drink or wear. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things." So in my case, do not worry about your deadline. The Lord knows. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I knew I needed to prioritize motherhood and homeschooling with a glad heart and trust that He would give the grace I needed to meet my deadline. And He did. I still had little time to write, but He would multiply that time. The Lord was faithful to give grace to write and meet deadlines for years after that. My kids graduated from our homeschool, and I was able to cherish those years with them.
I was having coffee with a friend the other day, and she asked me, "What has God taught you about work since you became a mom?" Immediately, what came to mind were these three words: tend your garden. She looked at me a little puzzled, knowing we both currently work in corporate America, and gardening is a hobby neither of us have. I honestly wasn't surprised by her response, though, because for most people, the word work and garden, they don't go together. It didn't for me either until a few years ago. For the majority of my life, when I heard the word work, what I typically thought of was a job, something I'd receive a W-2 or a 1099 for. But now when I talk about or hear the word work, I think about a garden. Let me explain. The shift for me began by studying the book of Genesis. There we see that God, He creates the heavens and the earth and all that's in it. He creates a garden. And He breathes life in Adam and Eve and gives them a specific assignment to cultivate a garden. But what happens shortly after that? A snake enters the garden, and He doesn't bite them. He doesn't wrap tightly around them to kill them. What does He do? He whispers a lie, and He tells them they can be limitless. They can be just like God in their assignment, and then the downward spiral begins. The story continues, and we quickly see that all of humanity needs to be saved from the lie that we can be all, do all, and accomplish whatever we believe or want to do. But God, who is rich in mercy, saves us from ourselves. He condescends to us in the form of a servant, Jesus Christ, puts on flesh, dwells among us. He suffers, dies, is buried, and on the third day, he's raised from the grave. And who's the first person to see him? Mary. And who does she mistake him for? A gardener. What a beautiful and awesome picture that as women who are called to be like Christ, in him, we have a perfect picture of what it looks like to tend a garden, to be fruitful and multiply and make disciples. Now, you might be single, you might be married, you might have biological or adopted children, have experienced multiple miscarriages, or maybe you're providing safe refuge to foster kids. Sister, what gospel truth I encourage my friend with over coffee is the same one that I'd say to you if we were sitting over coffee. God has called you to a specific task. He's given one to you on a very specific plot of land, a garden. And it's not the same plot of land as your sister on your left or your right. But you know what? We are called to cultivate and steward where God has placed our feet. And what else is true about a garden? There are limits, boundaries. Praise God. Contrary to what culture tells you, you cannot be all, you cannot do it all, and you cannot accomplish whatever you dream. Praise be to God that he is limitless and we are not. So imagine this, a limitless God has given you limits for your good and for your flourishing. He has called you to work and give it everything you've got. Your work is not defined by a W-2 or a 1099, but by a God who has called you to a very specific assignment. The question is, what is that? No matter how you find yourself answering that question, my gospel encouragement to you would be this: cultivate your garden. Steward what God has given you, and may all your labors, no matter what your work is, resemble the perfect gardener who is our peace, and he fully embodies what it looks like to tend a garden.